At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What up, everybody? This is Jason Lee, and you are tuned in to Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored.
And I'm Melissa Ford, a.k.a. The Curve Queen.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your boy Giovanni.
Hola. What the fuck are you doing,
Because I'm hearing this song in my head, and it just feels so good right
now. I'm starting to suspect you.
So don't ever suspect nothing over this way.
Suspect him of what? With that dangling microphone in front of his mouth.
Hey, both of y'all go to hell.
Practice makes perfect, my friend. I'm going to tell you, there was a time where I had dangling mics in front of my mouth.
Go to hell.
I mean, if I don't pray, and after today's interview with B. Slade, I might be there.
Listen, I will say this. I miss both of you guys. I really did. I feel like it's been longer than what it has been.
Mm-hmm. Has it been a long? Has it been
it
that
feels
long?
Like it because we didn't work yesterday. Off. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. There's so much going on in the news. Mm-hmm. So let's start talking about, well, let's talk about what we've been doing since we saw each other last.
Recap.
Well, I went away to
Aspen with this goddamn shit on.
Listen, it's fucking cold outside. It is not cold. Okay, it's like 60 degrees.
Where did you go?
Degrees.
Stay focused, people.
I was in the Caribbean. And
the Caribbean.
I was in the Caribbean. All right.
You were not in the Caribbean.
I was in the Caribbean. Sea
all,
was outside
girl,
my door.
She went to Catalina.
No, she didn't go to Catalina. She went to Mexico. What I'm not going to do is let her come up here and lie to our audience like that. This is Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored, not Hollywood Lies.
I was right out. The Caribbean Sea was right outside my
door. You know what I
door.
Noticed about your trip, though?
What?
You didn't Snapchat who went with you.
Oh.
Really?
At all. You showed us the lagoon. You showed us the pool on the deck. You showed us the food. You showed us the bikini switches. You showed us the laying out tanning. You showed us the ride on the boat to the plane. We did not see who went with you. I was even looking in, like, when you were panning.
You were trying to see reflection, bitch.
But did you smash, though?
Nope. Nope, it wasn't that kind of trip.
Born ass trip.
Wasn't that kind of trip.
You don't even fuck your girlfriend so hot. I mean, you ain't fucking at home.
We had sex last night, though.
Okay, well, we'll get to you in a minute. So tell us about this Mexico trip, and why were you trying to make it seem like you were in another country or somewhere else? I mean, you were in another country, but like further than Mexico.
No, I was. I mean, I don't know why you think I was in Mexico, and
You said you were.
I was away. I did not say that. I didn't say that.
So this mysteriousness, ASAP Rocky was here, so
oh
you weren't with
God.
Him.
Oh my God, no, I was not. Yeah,
Matt Barnes is in Sacramento, so you weren't with him.
Really? Jason,
David
really?
Sanjaya. Colin Kaepernick.
You're hilarious.
Colin Kaepernick.
You all are very funny.
I said David Sanjaya.
You all are very funny, okay?
Who you with, Melissa Ford?
I was by myself.
I talked to Odell Beckham. He was in New York playing football.
Yes. He definitely won't be with her.
How? You were going to set off a whole litany of fucking rumors.
Listen,
that I got to fight off.
Fred for Media Takeout. Everything you hear is facts on the show.
Was he he's a normal guy?
I wasn't with a guy.
You a goddamn liar.
Okay, first of all, we have a pastor coming here today.
Yes, yes.
You will not sit up here with all these damn lies.
I'm not.
Because your conviction ain't going to be my whatever.
Anyways, okay, so I had a good time on my birthday vacation. It was lovely. And Gio, what did you do?
I blacked out, got super fucked up Thursday, man.
Nice.
And so it's the first time in my 30 years. And for all the people out there that don't think I'm 30, I'm really 30.
How old do they think you are?
They think I'm older.
Well,
because I'm 30, December 22nd, 1985. Like, they was on the comments like, girl, he ain't 30. He fine, but he ain't 30. That nigga at least 46. I'm like, bitch, what? I'm 46.
Having turned vegan now.
Anyway.
It's really good for your skin. It's really good for, you know.
You listen, do look a little glowy.
Oh, my God.
I am 30. Anyway, I went to La Jardin.
I'm going to need you to, like, you know, up your skincare routine. Or you will start aging in fucking dog
years. I need
you
to help me. Come over, put some cocoa butter and hot rocks on my shit.
She don't need to come over to get your face right. She bought me some
pills. Yeah, your girlfriend will not appreciate that.
No. My girl love you, man.
Does she?
Yeah, it's nothing like that. It's nothing like that.
She's into girl-to-girl play, too.
Anyway, don't ever drink Ciroc, Henny.
He just skated right over that one.
Don't ever drink Ciroc, Henny, and then end it with champagne because you won't remember. Lita, I told you, you won't remember shit.
Champagne is just the memory eraser. It is the devil. It's just terrible.
I remember my girl telling me she thought she had to call the ambulance because, one, I fell flat on my face. cut my face and my back, don't remember shit, and I was throwing up my whole soul. And she thought she had to call an ambulance.
You went from Hennessy to vodka to champagne?
I went from Hennessy.
What the fuck were you trying to do?
To champagne. He definitely.
Okay, this is what I don't understand. So the audience that follows the show, they are following us religiously. Like, they know everything we talk about now. So they're going to remember one of our shows. We talked about Gio not eating cookies. I'm going to set it up by saying he lost 8 pounds, too.
Yeah, 8 pounds, man. Come on, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But I lost 18, and that's because I'm not drinking. And I'm not doing all that reckless shit.
Well, listen, one thing me and Miss Ford have in common is we can do the cleaning, we can exercise, but it's hard to put down that goddamn liquor. I like a nice, fine drink from time to time. Don't judge me. Go to hell. You feel what I'm saying to you?
I do. I do like alcohol.
And mind you, the viewers do be knowing our shit because somebody came up to me and randomly was like, yo, man, you get out the basement yet? I'm like, no. And then,
Well, that's better than Melissa calling me yesterday wanting to put a hit on somebody at her house. Not the room. Like, I need you to roll through. I'm like, this ain't Jason from Stockton no more. This is Jason Bougie as up there in Hollywood.
Then I was like, call whack, goddammit.
Yeah. And then I have to address this just in all seriousness, outside of the drunken nights with me. A close friend of mine's her daughter passed away at 9 years old. So I started a GoFundMe to try to raise money for all these medical bills. She passed away from health complications, but she was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer, and she passed away 3 days ago at 9. So I've been trying to get the word out to try to get people to donate money to help, because you know that those medical bills are crazy. So,
yeah, you know, a girlfriend of mine just passed away not too long ago from cancer, and her medical bills were crazy. Daisy from my show.
Yes, so. Yeah. I've been distressed about that. And as a parent myself, I can.
Well, where's the GoFundMe account? How do people find it?
The GoFundMe, the link is in my Instagram bio, Giovanni W. G-I-O-V as in vagina. Let me stop.
Stop talking about this.
I know, but it's. I know.
You know?
G-I-O-V as in Victor, A-N-N-I-W.
You know what I realized? You know what I realize about guys these days and why it just seems to be...
First of all, I'm a guy. Don't put me in a category with that
straight
bullshit.
Straight men, okay? Okay, so for women, why it seems so difficult as to why guys can't... You know, why you can't find a good man? Because men are fucking addicted to variety and fucking variety of vagina.
You guys are addicted to trips and handbags, so what?
That is not my addiction.
Welcome back from Mexico. But let's talk about my weekend.
Hey, yeah, what about your weekend, Jason Lee?
Oh, I missed you, Melissa. This is so much fun.
You ain't
by
missed
the way,
me.
Just
I was
reminded
in Belize.
You ain't missed me, huh?
She was in Cancun. Yeah, I missed you too, but Gio, you're all over Instagram, so I keep seeing these light-skinned fucking posts you keep putting up of you.
With the green eyes.
With
don't
the filters and all the
upside downs. I don't put filters on my shit.
Okay, I don't like seeing people's underarm hair on Instagram.
I'm a man.
Fuck with it. I don't care. If I want to see a chia pet, I'll go to the fucking store. If I want to see hair, I'll buy a dog. I don't want to see that on Instagram. Okay, so because if you go look at my like history, everything I touch ain't got no hair.
Okay, okay.
You don't look like you have hair either, like you, armpit hair or anything like that.
We are not talking about my hair.
You do look like you shave all
the shit. Do you like shave it?
So let me talk about my week in recap. Last night, I'm gonna start with last night. I went to Trap Karaoke last night.
Lit.
So much fucking fun.
Where is that?
First of all, I now have found. Well, let me tell you how they tricked me. Shout out to the PR agency that invited me. They sent us an email saying, we really want Jason to come. Queen Latifah, Lee Daniels, the cast of Star is coming. It's a premiere party for Star. So, of course, I'm like, I'm going to go. So I don't pay any attention to it, the release. And I'm driving around. So finally, I'm like, okay, give me the address where I'm going. Such and such and such, Pico. Now, you know damn well, Queen Latifah and Star and Lee Daniels aren't gonna going to do something Pico. In Pico.
Isn't that south of Wilshire?
So I text, and y'all know how I am about South Wilshire. So I text Latifah and I said, hey sis, I'm gonna see you in a little bit. She was like, huh, what? Like, I'm gonna see you at your event. She was like, I'm in bed. I pull up, I walk in this place, and I ain't gonna lie, I really need to start spending more time out in the community because I was feeling some type of way. Like, no, they didn't. And they searching me too, like, yeah, somebody's gonna get shot. So I go in there after they do the premiere of the show, which, by the way, Star is going to be a hit. Quincy's in the show.
Is it really good, though?
It's really good. I think Lee Daniels saw Power and was like, okay, 50, y'all want to come for me? So he launched a new show on Fox that is giving you the edge of Power.
Yeah, shout out to Quincy, man, playing Derek.
So the star of the show is a transgender woman, LaMaya Scott, that was supposed to be on Real Housewives
no
of Atlanta.
No way.
She's the star of the show.
No way.
How's she doing?
Queen Latifah's
wow.
daughter.
Wow.
Queen Latifah's daughter.
In the show.
And wow. What's the gay boy's name with the heels and stuff? from Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Derek J.
The other one.
Miss Lawrence.
Miss Lawrence is in there too.
No.
Lee Daniels definitely know how to star stud a show out.
That's not star studded, but I mean, anyway, it is. It's going to be a hit show. It's the fucking show is awesome. But anyway, after that, they had trap karaoke. At least 2,000-3,000 people there, raging, like crazy. Dope. So I now know what I want to do for my birthday.
Trap karaoke.
Trap karaoke, but I want to have it infused with like friends. You know,
you got to bring the names out, bro.
Yeah, got to bring all the people out, including one of my new friends. You probably know her, Khalees.
Oh, I love Khalees.
She's a chef Mom, now. Did you know that?
I heard that. I was like, hey, bravo for the transition.
She's still fine.
No, she has a cookbook. She had a pop-up brunch at Stout the other day. We went. Hollywood Unlocked was there. We were able to interview her. And it was dope. The food was good. Andrew, who was there, who interviewed her for our team, I left early just with instructions like, this is what y'all need to do.
Let me guess. Andrew had no idea who she was.
No. He didn't know. He not only didn't know who she was, he educated her on what a drop was. So she was like, please. She was like, please, boy. I could have birthed you. I know what a drop is. But she was nice. She did a drop. So we're now planning a brunch. I'm going to curate a brunch for her. So
please. Mm. And I will say this, Jason. I really, really, really applaud you, man. The part two of the Love & Hip Hop reunion, man.
Oh, yeah. That aired. Yeah. I mean, the audience, I left with the audience liking me.
Yeah, I know you don't like you, but I end up liking you after I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, people were like, why did, and this is the thing I love about our audience, because I don't even fuck with them anymore. Like, I don't go online and say anything to them. They're like, why he don't turn up on no man? They don't turn up on me. Mm. If you turn up on me, I'm going to turn up on you. Fizz tried to turn up, we turned up, and it came down. If it would have kept escalating, I'm not going to run from any fight. And the point is that I felt at that moment, Willie was literally out there on his own.
Yeah.
And nobody else was helping, like supporting him. And I felt like, wait a minute, we're missing the bigger picture here. Maybe he cheated, but this woman is in love with a married man and trying to break up a happy home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She seems very delusional.
I think she's just thirsty. But you know, all them side hoes that come on Love & Hip Hop, they end up in the Love & Hip Hop graveyard. Come on thinking that they're going to be a part of the cast. Like, you're not coming back to the show now.
It's a wrap on her. Hope. Shout out to Shonda, Denise, and my boy Willie.
Yeah, they're going to work it out. Mm. Yeah, they're going to work it out. Hopefully for the sake of their kids. So, okay, let's talk about some hot topics. My life has been, I've been chill. Oh, you know, there's all kinds of things going on, and Floyd is in New York. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to Floyd, though. Have you talked to Floyd?
No, but he is in the news right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in the news. There's a picture of him and President-elect Donald Trump. I don't know who the third guy is in the picture, but I guess
Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, that's his son.
No, there's a black guy next to him.
No, the white. That's a white.
Maybe
boy.
Maybe I saw a different photo.
Yeah, okay, that's his son.
Anywho, so yeah, they are in the news together, and well, I mean, you know, Floyd is no stranger to public criticism. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So people are kind of. I don't know. He got Twitter going a little bit crazy.
So my DMs, of course, and my mentions and Hollywood Unlocked received so many direct messages of this picture. Mm-hmm. We want to know Jason's point of view. We want to know what Jason thinks because Floyd is a good friend of mine. And here's what I think. Floyd's politics and my politics, Floyd's position on issues, my position on issues aren't automatically the same because of our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We reserve the right to think independently. So I will say that when I first saw the picture, my reaction was Donald Trump has always been a fan of Floyd's. He's always gone to all his fights.
And he's dabbled in like the fight business.
He's been very supportive of Floyd. So on a personal level, politics aside, they've been friends for a long time.
Mm.
So if I see a friend that voted for, if I see Alicia who voted for him and was campaigning for Trump, I'm still going to take a picture with her because that's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of look at it like, okay, Donald Trump is a friend of Floyd's and he runs into him in New York and he takes a photo with him. Now there's that part. The other part is that I'm like confused at what we're supposed to be doing in this country now. He's the next president. Are we all supposed to just
allegedly.
Hold on. He is the president.
Mm-hmm.
So, or will be the president. So are we supposed to automatically now say, fuck Trump, and we are not involved in the democratic process at all anymore, and anybody that is a sellout? Like, that's just not fair.
I mean, don't forget about the petition that's going around to get Hillary in December 19th, and she needs 4 million votes, and she's like 3 million petition signed right now.
Listen, I will sign that too, but that's not the point. The point is right now, even if you sign that, we are one country. So I'm not going to go out there and say,
I mean, I know.
Wait, let me finish my point. I'm not going to go out there on this anti-Trump rant, or anybody that takes a picture with Trump is automatically a demon, because I don't personally believe in his politics or his views. I personally don't support him, and I personally have not voted for him. So that's my own personal
views,
you know? But just because Floyd takes a picture of him to call him a coon and all that is just, I don't know, it's crazy.
I think the reality of the situation is that, you know, the election itself was very divisive, and it was divisive in terms of how people, you know, kind of learned things about people that they thought that they'd known all their lives. You know, friendships were, you know, decimated, you know, relations and relationships within families were, you know, kind of burned beyond repair because of, you know, the way people thought that they wanted to vote, who they thought was the better candidate. People took this very, very, very personally. So when you've got a bunch of people who are fans of somebody, and then they see that they support somebody that, you know, just basically makes them nauseous, they're going to take that personally. So I think that that's the reason why, you know, Floyd's kind of getting a lot of flack for, you know, posing for a photo.
But. Well, that and his comments on the All Lives Matter. I mean, yeah, they're kind of putting all that together. Yeah. You know, and Floyd, like you said, he's not one to run from controversy. And at the end of the day, Floyd is entitled as an individual, and he looks at himself as an individual doing whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some could argue and criticize him for that, and saying he should understand with great, you know, gifts comes great responsibility, or this platform that he has. But I personally plan to be involved in the process, the democratic process, whether it's Donald Trump, Hillary, whoever, because there's so much at stake. And just kind of switching gears a little bit, there was a tribute at the White House for the Obamas. I don't know if you guys saw this on
yeah.
TV.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Common and Yolanda Adams killed their performance. And it was just, well, they sung Glory. And I think the thing that really hit me on a personal level was just how far we've come as a people, and to be able to have these black figureheads in office and be so poised and classy and just such a great representation of our culture. It's just sad to see him go.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Well, peace. We love you.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm just playing. Peace. We love you, President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and the two daughters.
Yeah, that cleans it up.
Hey, man, don't be looking at me like that. Shit.
I mean, honestly, if you think about it like that, this is like a really sad moment.
It is. And but yeah. America, you made this decision, so now you got to live with it.
No, we have to live with it.
We have to live with it.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, because actually I'm going to Puerto Rico next month for a few months.
Puerto Rico's a part of the United
what?
States.
Wait, hold on.
No, wait,
back
no, no,
up.
No. Puerto Rico's a part of the United
it
States.
Is. No, it Start is. Yeah.
No, you Americans have to deal with it because I'm going to Puerto Rico. Those of you that have been following the show since day one, remember Doughboy thought that Jamaica was an Africa.
I know, that's what's so funny. And that's my alma mater to him.
Not your alma mater, that's your homage.
Continue on.
Okay. Yeah.
Edit the fuck the shit out of that.
No,
edit that
no
out.
We're not editing edit the fuck. We're yeah, not editing that shit out.
Get y'all, shit edited out.
America needs to know that ain't your ass bitch. Don't know where the fuck Puerto Rico is.
I know where the fuck Puerto Rico is. Continue on.
Okay. Well, Bernie Sanders is in the news right now because he feels like Trump should apologize for the harsh talk that he, you know, had for Hillary, for fuck everybody, LGBT, fucking Mexicans, everywhere. He feels like he should apologize for it. But what's really interesting is it just seems like he's kind of backtracking a lot on everything
Who,
that he
Trump?
Said. Trump, yeah. It just, he's, when I'm just considering everything that's happening, he's not the person that I'm most afraid of. It's who he's electing into his cabinet. That's who
well,
I'm
you know what I think? You about. Know what I think? Correct. Because these politics are making me sick. Fuck Bernie Sanders. You know why?
Mm.
Because his old ass.
He old as fuck.
No, his old ass should have did more for Hillary when he lost the nomination for the Democratic convention. I'm gonna tell you why. He straddled the fence on how to endorse her. He should have pulled all his people over. A lot of people that didn't vote for Hillary were Bernie Sanders supporters who just couldn't convert over.
Yeah.
When Hillary Clinton lost to Obama, she did everything to pull her people over to Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen for Bernie. So Bernie could have a stadium of fucking Beyonce formation concert seats.
I don't know about that one. I mean, in all honesty, it's because of the way that the nomination was basically, he was prevented from even becoming the Democrats' nomination.
He saw that email where the person at the DNC was purposely sending the questions for the debates over to Hillary so she could win.
Mm.
And he felt some type of way. It's sort of like a bottom that Never mind. But anyway, he felt a certain
way. Compare that.
He felt a certain way, and as a result, now he's in his. He got in his feelings, and he didn't campaign as hard. So now, it's amazing that he's sitting on the sidelines, you know, having a voice. But mm-hmm. what was that motherfucking voice when we needed to get Hillary in there?
He wasn't shooting her in the gym.
At the end of the day, I will tell you, I still am suffering from post-election stress disorder.
Yeah.
Because, like, Trump is on his way to meet with the leader of Japan and hasn't even been briefed by the State Department.
Damn. No.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, the president is supposed to travel with a press corps at all times because, you know, anything can happen at any given moment and the press has got to be able to report upon it.
Not with Trump.
Not with Trump. That motherfucker is bobbing and weaving and dodging his press corps to go have, like, you know, dinners with his family. Like, he's crazy. Yo, he's trying to break all institutional tradition.
But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He's going to break all them rules and not fall within the line. And guess what? Mm. Somebody might pop that ass.
Yo, that's because
you start moving mm-hmm. around like you just a man now, you're going a Crip might be at dinner.
Everybody could get touched. Everybody can
your
get
touched. Your sound bites today, Gio. Jesus Christ.
Listen, everybody can get touched.
Whatever Negro movies he watched over the last week, let him play it out.
Everybody can get touched, man. Straight up. And that's one
thing. Shout out to Pee Wee Herman.
That's one thing I fear the most. I don't wish that on anybody. But I feel like there's going to be multiple attempts.
You really think so?
I think so.
That'll be interesting. Well, you know what? The press corps will not be there to cover it because he keeps dodging.
That's okay. We still got TMZ. So let's move on to some other stuff other than politics.
Okay. Well, Frank.
Genuine's dick is on the
internet. Oh, my God.
Can we talk about that?
No, we cannot.
Yes, we can. I didn't know he had a turtleneck. There's nothing wrong with that.
Wait, hold on.
I got a turneck. I'm not circumcised, my nigga.
You're not? That's too much information.
Oh, but it's Hollywood Unlocked, but I can't say what the fuck is on my mind.
If you want to promote your dick not being circumcised on the radio so all the little girls and boys out there listening can have a feel
My girl love it. That's all that matters.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
It's still big. It's still long. It's still 10 inches.
Are you talking about Genuine's dick
I'm talking about my dick.
Okay. We're talking about Genuine's dick right now. Which is still long and big, too.
Same OG looking.
Okay, hold on a second.
So, Melissa, I text Melissa and Giovanni the photo of Genuine's
and
dick.
I don't know why.
For research purposes.
To research this dude's dick?
This is what the dick looks like, people. And Melissa was like, if I could wake up to that every morning, I'd be a happy
Not Genuine's dick, just one that looks like that.
And it is long and girthy.
I'm sorry.
She did say I'm good on Genuine.
Because from last... Because
he's 46.
Last what I heard was he was married.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is to Soleil.
No, they're still married,
aren't separated.
They?
Well, he's still married.
Okay, well, separated is still married to me.
Not to me.
Oh, you fucking housebreaker.
I'm not a home... It's called homewrecker. And I'm not a homewrecker.
Are you drunk now?
No, I'm not drunk.
Okay.
He's falling into his role now.
Thank you, man. Shit. Let me live.
Okay.
We had this talking. Now, thank you.
Okay.
Continue on, housewrecker.
Yeah.
I'm not a homewrecker. First of all, I'm not at all attracted to Genuine. Not to say that I never have been. I remember Genuine back in the 90s when he was the pony straddling the fences and all
with
that.
With the baby hair.
He was kind of hot. Yeah, I didn't like the hair. I never liked that. I never have liked that Justin Combs haircut. Like that type of shit, the little curly little get your little comb and make your little fucking waves look
with
little.
The toothbrush.
I don't like that shit.
You call it the Justin Combs?
I couldn't tell he was circumcised from the photo.
He's circumcised to a degree.
Uncircumcised, I should say.
He's circumcised
to a
degree.
He looked circumcised to me.
To a degree.
Of course, it was completely erect.
I do not
want
to talk about
it. Let's talk about the reason why we're seeing Genuine's penis all over the internet, because apparently he's sending pictures of his penis out to, you know, a bunch of broads.
Shout
and
out
stuff
to
like
LA.
That.
When you strong, long, man, sometimes you just got to display that
I
shit.
I don't send my dick to nobody no more.
Shit. Before
no,
my
you
girl,
said no more.
Before my girl, I was sending my shit to every girl I could if they asked for it.
Why?
If they ask for it, why not?
If they ask for it.
Yeah.
Because all I get are unsolicited dick pics. Stop sending me dick
you
pics.
Got a
I don't
buffet
want...
full of dicks.
Can y'all please stop looking at the camera like y'all performing for a TV
no,
show?
No, I'm trying to tell every fucking person out there who keeps sending me dick pics,
listen,
stop fucking sending me
Adam,
dick pics. I don't care. I send them to all my girlfriends and we laugh.
So I'm just going to look at the camera for the rest of the show because clearly, fuck you motherfuckers over there. It's all about you people. Fuck them. Okay, so look, we have to whisper now because B. Slade has walked in the building.
I'm so afraid.
This interview, I'm so nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Because Andrew's going to fuck it up for everybody. He's going to start laughing and shit when I talk about it being, you know, top or a bottom, and this shit's going to get real.
It'll be all right. Don't worry about
it. So, Genuine, if you're listening...
Come on the show.
No, Claudia Jordan's reaching out to you for me. Not reaching out to you that way for me, but bring your dick on the show and let's talk about it.
Oh, my God.
And Eric Benet, stop being scary, motherfucker. Bring your ass on the show, too.
Eric.
I'm a fan.
We love you on the show, and we promise we'll handle you with kid gloves.
I want to know how he got Halle Berry pussy.
No, we all do.
See, that's the reason why he doesn't want to fucking come on.
I wonder if we pulled Eric Benet's dick out on the show, would it measure up the way Genuine says? We probably shouldn't say that because now he really ain't gonna want to come.
He's gonna,
right?
Yeah. Okay, no, that's it. That's a wrap.
No, don't edit.
Back
shit.
To the audience. We're just gonna scratch all of that. No. Eric, you can leave your dick at home. Just come on the show.
Don't you edit nothing. No.
Oh, you're no, not we, gonna we take ain't my editing that now.
Okay.
No, we gonna keep your dumb ass shit in here today too.
So we gotta.
No judgment. Okay, what else? What else is in the news?
That's basically all that's going. Frank Ocean. He is not. He has decided not to submit his two albums, Blonde and Endless, for Grammy consideration, and he calls it his Colin Kaepernick moment, and Jason had a few choice Frank words Ocean for Frank
needs
Ocean.
Frank Ocean needs to submit for this dick, because I need a co-star next season. I would fuck Frank Ocean for a storyline. Actually, no, I didn't get past it to the Flog Now concert. Fuck him. I ain't going to that shit.
Frank, I love you. That nigga said he's a Scorpio.
You want a tornado to come flying through your room? Him.
I don't know what that means.
I love him and I love his music and I find him very inspirational.
I don't listen to Frank Ocean anymore.
And he does not do interviews, but he did one with the New York Times and he explained why he didn't want to submit his music. And it's basically just because he doesn't feel like the Grammys treat artists with, you
okay,
know.
So we're doing music for Grammys now. Okay, cool. So anyway, that's it for Hot Topics. Yeah. And we have a special guest in the building. Okay, so I need to get it right because I've been warned not to call you Tone. I've been told to call you B. Slade.
Yes, that's correct.
B. Slade. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So B. Slade is in the building. I am very familiar with B. Slade. I've known B. Slade through the transitions.
Right.
Yeah. Because I was raised, you know, I have foster parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you don't know.
I was
a foster kid. My mama, she had some problems. But they were a pastor and first lady, so I spent a lot of time in the church.
Okay.
And grew up in all that, and I'm sure you have an opinion about the church. We could talk about it at some point. And
we have a conversation.
And I've seen your
that part.
I've seen your career evolve. I've seen you evolve. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm familiar with you. I don't know how familiar you are with me and this reckless ass group here.
Well, we've had a great introduction so far. I'm enjoying it, Miss Ford.
Hi. Yeah. But you and Gio are familiar with each other. You guys are friends.
Cool. Yeah, we cool. Yeah. Yes. He's amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. Man. We've been watching each other like climb up slowly.
We met through my cousin, Chester Gregory.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, he's still in the basement, so he's still climbing.
I'm out the basement. I'm out the basement now.
Moving on up.
So to the east side.
That's all right. I'm out the basement now.
Okay, so good. Everybody's really, really happy for you. Okay, so you grew up in San Diego, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you...
Ekizache, Ereme, Efeme, Tijuana, Baja California, Mexico.
I don't know what that just said. Mexico!
I heard Mexico, and I'm actually wearing the Money Team Mexico shirt today for all the people out there afraid of the wall.
I had a Mexican Uber driver today.
Well, you were in Mexico with a random guy.
Let's get back to our guest. I don't know why he keeps saying I was in Mexico. Anywho, so you've got six siblings. You're the oldest of six.
I'm the youngest of six.
You're the youngest of six.
All boys.
Okay, wow, that must have been interesting growing up in that household. Daddy was a pastor, your mom.
Well, he wasn't pastor till later on in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he was a preacher, but not a pastor. So it's a little bit not as harsh as being a pastor's kid.
For those of us who did not grow up in a very religious household, can you tell me the difference between preacher and pastor? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are completely confused about the difference is between the two.
Yeah, a preacher is someone who just knows how to preach or deliver a sermon. A pastor is
that
actually
would be Jason. So I'm going to start calling you Pastor Lee.
No, not at all.
Preacher Lee.
No, not
preacher
at all. And a pastor. I am a heathen. And I'm okay with it.
He owned that thing too. Yeah. And then a pastor actually looks out for people's soul. You know what I mean? Like he's actually like, doctor. Like you go in and check in with him, you know, to see how you're doing spiritually. A preacher is not responsible for that portion. They just deliver the word, but they're not responsible
for it. So does that require like a doctorate in like theology or something like that to graduate from becoming like a pastor?
For some, Enoch Bible Institute, a Berean Bible Institute, you know, my mother graduated magna cum laude from there, but it wasn't a system requirement because there's a whole bunch of people that go to school, but they don't have no anointing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You don't feel the truth of their conviction, even though they went to school to be a preacher or a teacher. You don't feel the conviction because you have to be called.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an occupation. That's a mission. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay. So as the oldest, What were some of your, you know, responsibilities once your father
did? I was the youngest.
I keep saying oldest because I read somewhere that once your father passed away, which is, you know, kind of further into the story, a lot of the duties kind of fell onto your, you know, responsibilities fell onto your shoulders. True. So that usually happens for the oldest. Older one. And that's why I keep making that mistake. So that's my bad. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. By that time, my oldest brother had passed in 97.
Okay.
Of AIDS, actually.
Really?
And it was just... Just when we started getting close together, like that's when he passed.
Okay.
So he couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
All my other brothers weren't necessarily in church like that.
Okay.
So I was the only one who was actually active in church. So it made sense that the church would have fell to me. I didn't want that though. I didn't want any part of that because I knew that was my father's vision.
Yeah.
Not mine.
Yeah.
Like if God gave me the unction to open up a church, it would be a vision he gave me. I could not fill my father's shoes. I was way too young and hadn't had the chance to properly grieve.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of, you know, when parents make the transition from becoming, you know, mildly religious to, you know, something like, you know, becoming
over
the church. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The effect that it has on the kids is really very jarring. Like I watched that happen with my sister and her only son. I mean, my sister was, you know, cool as hell. And then one day she became Pentecostal Christian. Mm-hmm. And my God, did the rhetoric change. You know, it was fire, brimstone, devil's everywhere, demons and whatnot. Yeah. I was like, who the fuck are you?
Right, right.
You know, and as a result, I was like, yo, your kid's going to have a really, really difficult time transitioning through life because you're not really giving, you didn't give them, there was no lubrication, as we like to say on this show.
you
didn't really exactly. So he's been in and out of, this is my nephew, he's been in and out of jail and nothing's ever his fault. You know, he's had a really difficult time trying to come to grips with, you know, just his place in the world and such. And I kind of feel like the pressure that you know, forgive me for saying, the Christian religion and just is sometimes just too much for people.
Right.
You know,
sometimes it pushes people away from the church.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't live up to the extreme ideologies, then the only other option is ostracism, and that's the worst thing that you could do to a human being.
Well, I have definitely come through that, and you're absolutely right. I am grateful for the foundation that I got because I've never had the desire to go too far. No matter how much I'm out there with my expression, who I am, I do have a strong foundation as far as respect for all walks of life and faith. But my parents were, they were in the church, but my father was also a philosopher and he was a school teacher and educator for like 35 years. So I got to see what the religious part did, but I also got to see the man he really was when he was in that church.
Okay.
We watched Soul Train. We watched James Brown. You know, he was a musician. My father played with James Brown and Jackie Wilson before he got into the church. So all I know, my parents met on the road.
Right.
All I know is music.
Okay. So you had really strong musical influence.
Very strong.
Okay.
So I have a question. Okay. So where I first came to know of you, I was in a gay club in New York. You were performing as you were Tone, I think, at the time.
I think I just...
Unless it had just happened.
Mean,
it had just...
It was at Splash.
Splash.
Splash. On 17th Street. I love that club.
It was at Splash.
I was in the club. They said, B. Slade, a.k.a. Who B. Slade? Tone. Because I knew you as a gospel singer.
Right.
You know, I grew up... I'm gay. I grew up in the church with foster parents. And I don't go to church now because there's too many influences for me from other people. When I'm there for one purpose, and that's to just receive whatever the word is. So I just stay at home and I get it on my
online,
own.
Online,
I don't even get it for, I mean, I call Devon Franklin, I call friends, I do my own thing, I have my own connection to God. But for me, I think in just seeing that and your get up at the time, because you walking in today, you giving me like Yeezy season a little bit. You are a full production when you're performing.
Mm-hmm.
An artist.
Is that the Lady Gaga-esque creativity of you as an individual artist? Not to say that you're like Lady Gaga, but is that just your persona as a performer versus something that the kids may show up at the club in?
It just depends on the song. It depends on the mission. Each assignment is different, you know? And I go with what I really feel in my heart. You know, I'm all of those things. I'm just bold enough to express them openly. A lot of us have all kind of expressions inwardly that we would love to be able to display publicly, but we don't have a strong enough constitution to ignore people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
So now that you're Beastly, can we talk about Tone?
I mean, for context, of course we have to.
Right. So for the audience that don't know, Tone, you were or are a preacher. or pastor?
Well, I'm no longer a pastor.
Okay, you're a pastor.
The word is always in me.
Okay.
I'm no longer actively attending a church. I'm not a member of a church or any particular organization.
So you were a pastor, gospel singer, phenomenal gospel singer.
Default pastor by way of father's death, not chosen or felt called to be one.
Okay. But you were pastoring over people.
Yes.
And shepherding souls.
Yes.
Okay.
I was.
For context. So you were really respected in the gospel community, gospel singer. And I think this was at a time, this was pre-Frank Ocean, this was pre any of the social media, really, right? Yeah.
It is right before it
this
happened.
Was like, it was,
that wasn't happening yet.
It was like 2008, something
Like
that?
2009.
It was then.
And this was like, even for me, at the gay club, being as confident and out as I am, like, and not saying I had judgment, but definitely feeling that there would be a reaction to it because people hadn't been familiar with somebody publicly seeing one way, just the pendulum swinging another. What was that transition like, and what were you battling while you were Tonet as the pastor?
Well, number one, I couldn't really fan the flames on my career because I had like a hit album that went number one on Billboard out the box, and my father passed 2 months after that. Wow. It happened. So right where I was at the beginning of the touring process, I get hit with this. Oh, well, pump the brakes on this album. You're a pastor.
Wow. What?
But I've been rehearsing 3 months for this. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was the guilt of, you know, making sure my mother was good, you know, and I felt it was undue pressure, just undue pressure. Tonet. I could express myself, but not in the way I felt I should have been able to express myself as a human being and as an artist. Gospel has like, you can say this, you can do that, but you can only go so far. You can talk about this, but you can't talk about that. This gets a pass on sin, but this does not. So you have to be very careful about in that world about how you present your art. But and I was pretty radical. I have to say I was pretty liberal and basically the bad boy of gospel they used to call me. You know, now Leandria done took my place. She's a bad girl of gospel. You know what I mean?
Like, but she's I love Leandria. But, but she needs to stop drinking Patron on
speak
online.
Speak.
Because she's my sister. She's
one
of the current artists in gospel that I can actually like. She speaks to my spirit.
Yeah.
She all online sipping Patron and cussing at her kids and acting up.
Yeah.
That's just to me, because see, this is the issue that I have with the church. I want to go to church and not get distracted by man and distracted by all the stuff that people have. I mean, we all come to church with what we got. Yeah. But then when you're in there, you're not supposed to be bringing and playing all in the church.
Yeah.
It just, for me, it's too much of a contradiction. So rather than allow my spirit to get fucked up, I'm going to just stay over here and do me and whatever sinning I do and whatever in your eyes and godly. As long as I know my relationship with God and the word and I know better and do better, I'm fine with that. So when you were Tonet, were you gay then or were you gay then or gay later?
Listen. Be slight. We had a conversation about this and actually Jason shocked the shit out of me with his response. Because it was one of the hot topics I was talking about and it was discussing homosexuality and if it's, you know, nature versus nurture, you know, if it's a kind of situation where you are born that way or, and I've always been from the school of thought, just based upon, you know, friends of mine who gave me the example of Melissa. The way I put it to people is, why would I choose this life if I had an alternative? You know what I'm saying? Because when you come out as gay, especially in the church, like if you are involved in the black church, especially if you're black, black as it is, you face so much criticism, ostracism from friends, family, community,
society.
Why would you choose that as your
life?
Tell
the point of what we said on the show.
So the point was, I talked to Jason about that and Jason didn't.
I said I had some pussy. I was fucking girls when I was younger.
Yes.
And then I fucked with a friend of mine and then I'm not going to say I just converted. It's just that's where my interest was there more than with
vagina,
women.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Like, I'm an energy guy. Like, both sexes are attracted to me.
Right.
Because I'm not really a gender.
Mm-hmm. So it's like trisexual.
I am B. Slade. I'm whatever. I like what I like when I like it.
So you like the term sexually fluid?
That's cool. But you know what I mean? But I think it's easier to deal with guys than it is with girls. I was married for almost five years. And she was great because we laughed a lot. You know what I mean? And I was whipped.
Right.
But there was a lot of emotional layers that that drove me crazy. I'm a bottom line guy. Like, if there's a problem, let me, what? How do we fix this? Why I don't you, really want to know the details.
You said, Jason.
No.
Jason.
No. No. We just said no. No. Shit, no. No. He said he's a bottom line guy, and y'all both face broke. Because they're trying to get me to ask if you're a top or bottom. I'm not going to answer that. He can tell us later. But no, the original question, because I'm going to go back to my question.
I didn't know, was it interesting?
The original question was, I mean, you can share if you want, but original question was, when you were Tonay, and when you were married, did you feel attraction to men?
Yeah.
You did, but did you ever act on it?
No, I was faithful to my wife.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
So...
And not even on no, like, I had to be faithful. I enjoyed it. She was great.
Because Kirk Franklin is allegedly straight. And he...
But allegedly.
No.
He's a, all my people say. Thank God.
Kirk Franklin.
You don't want to go there.
No. No, because I remember I ran into her in Atlanta. Was like, okay. So my question is, and he never saw the show. That ain't my fault. So my question is, for him, he went on Oprah as Tyler Perry did. Tyler went on Oprah and said that he was molested by a man, and that he just, you know, his issues and maybe the little femininity that he has and all the light skinned boys he casts is all related to being molested. So Kirk Franklin, he had an addiction to porn. So yeah. I don't really know. Okay, I don't know where I was going. I may have a conclusion, but I'm going to just leave it there. I feel like
let's talk about it. This is great.
So do you, because I feel like what you're doing right now and what I've done is just living in your truth of who you are. Mm-hmm. And there's so much freedom in that. Like you're forced to respect somebody. Like I can roll with Crips, Bloods, Floyd Mayweather. Mm-hmm. I could be at the club with straight homies, go to the gay club in the same night.
Half the time people don't even know you're gay.
And here's the deal. It don't fucking matter.
That's the thing, is it doesn't matter.
And I feel like with a lot of this industry, a lot of people are, shout out to R. Kelly, trapped in the closet. What? So during your, or there's the perception that we're just whoremongers and we have to have sex all the time. So during your marriage with your wife, you weren't out having gay sex.
No.
But you had urges, I'm assuming.
I mean, if I saw a fine nigga, then of course I'm going to do
a
double take.
Or a fine woman.
Whatever. It doesn't, I mean, like, yo, they look good. I'm going to double take.
So when,
I'm not blind.
So double when three. Was the...
full yes, transition.
You didn't say if you were top or bottom, though. You didn't answer
that. He didn't answer that.
I never answered that.
I thought I heard something. My shit ain't working.
Your mic's not working. Okay. Maybe it's your phone's.
His mic is dangling in front of his face today. I don't know. Okay, so when you... So,
wow. Wow. Really?
We're going to play some Kirk Franklin when we go to the
show. Oh, my people said...
I'm going to walk in Los Angeles. They're going to put me out.
They're going to burn you.
That damn heathen. Yeah. So when did you decide that Tonay was, you were done with that and you were going to be born again as B. Slade?
Right around, let me see. Yeah, 2009, after I did the Lexi interview, I shot that interview on the Word Network around March. It debuted in September. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was blacklisted. So then I was like, okay, well.
You went MIA for a long time. I remember that.
And then I had to figure out, like, okay, I can't come back as a mainstream tone. That's just not going to work because the legacy is too strong in the gospel, the catalog. Even though I spoke about everything, it still was more faith-based in branding. Okay? Yeah. So I was like, I need to start all over again. How am I going to do that? Right? So I saw this movie. I was actually up for the role of Sylvester. And Alan Poole told me to watch a few films to prepare for that role. One of those films is called The Velvet Goldmine, and it is loosely based off of David Bowie. And he was a folk singer who was rejected by his community because of his eccentricities. Mm-hmm. So he rebranded himself as Brian Slade and took over the world as this huge rock star, okay? Because he just started all over again and made a whole new name for himself. I said, oh... That's what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to start all over again, make a whole new brand, still have my base, but expand it and reach the entire planet as I am, who I am. Mm-hmm. And so then B. Slade. So hopefully.
So it wasn't like B. Slade in the spirit. It was B. Slade from that.
It was definitely inspired. Oh, okay. It was inspired by the art, which art should do. You know what I mean? I mean, I look at it also as a life transition, a career transition as well. It's almost like. People refer to Tonay and they'd be like, well, you always going to be Tonay to me. But would you have said that to Muhammad Ali? Mm-hmm. Would you have said you always going to be Cassius Clay to me? Mm-hmm. Or do we remember him?
Well, his mama named Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Exactly. But that's how folks do you when them. They don't respect your transition.
I want to ask you though, and when you was with your wife, Mary, you say for 5 years, in the duration of that time, when you were still having these feelings for men and women, did you ever confide in your wife about?
She knew about it before we got married. Oh, she knew everything about me before, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like she went in like,
blindfolded, right?
Nah, because I'm an honest dude,
right?
That's, you know, I've dope. Always been honest,
and she's still.
But I'm so hot, like girls don't care. Hey.
Yeah. Well, hello then.
Well, listen, okay. there's going to be women. It's going to be Shaquita on here that says, "Oh, I would have never been with no man." The women slide in my DMs right now,
trying to convert. We hear all about it, but yeah, I mean that
wait, Miss Ford, we hear all about it.
Keep going. We hear all about the girls that want to fuck Jason. Right. I'm like, give it up, ladies. It's not going to happen.
But then that leads me to my next question: that's her boo. What ended your marriage?
When my father passed away, like when a parent passes away in any marriage on either side with the wife or the husband, is either going to draw that couple together or it's going to split it apart. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to still be a covering for somebody when you need one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's very difficult to be nurturing to someone when you're in need of being nurtured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so we were supposed to move to Atlanta at the time. And when my father passed, I couldn't leave the church. And I couldn't leave my mom, so that was a major conflict.
Did you want to be a pastor?
No, actually, I just honestly wanted to do music. That was my truest call. Even though I know how to like go there, and I'm, you know,
because you're annoying
with the word. I will go there.
No, because I'm gonna tell you, there's very few people that could do what you do. You and Leandra, we'll get back to whether y'all gonna work together on the album because that right there, you may usher me back closer to the Lord.
Yeah, we've already worked on 4 songs, and we're in negotiations for. A possible tour, but she just lost her brother as well. So I just wanted to say, you know, condolences to her family.
Oh, wow.
Really feel bad about that.
So before you got with your wife, had you been with a man before that marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't. So you were.
But I was also with women.
Did you consider yourself bisexual?
Mm-mm.
Trisex. He's more attracted to energy.
It's that like, is not trisexual.
Well,
trisexual is when you try to put your dick in a hole and get it sucked at a club, or when you try to drop a
heterosexual neighborhood. We call them trisexuals. They'll try anything.
Just a fact for today. We're not trying to make you feel stupid. You're doing it on
your own. No, I'm not.
Wow.
No, I'm not.
When you try to drop a gospel album.
How many people in here have used the word trisexual for people that would try anything?
Never.
As an urban colloquialism.
Fuck all y'all. Go to hell.
I have heard it.
I'm not
in that way.
Gio's playing his position very fucking well today.
Go to hell.
So anyway, see, that's part of why I don't go to church, because black folks always trying to tell you you're going to hell. So back to our question. So did you consider yourself bisexual or you didn't put I don't put a label on anything. Clearly, I'm gay. Ain't nobody getting. Ain't no pussy coming to my house.
Unless it's a kid.
No. I haven't even been up in his apartment.
No,
okay.
Because I have a rule. I have a rule. Anything walk past that door, it's all fair game. So no women allowed, because they ain't even a chance.
I'm never come over to your crib.
You ain't invited. You're not invited. So. First of all, if I wanted you to come to my crib, you would come to my crib.
Shit. Let's start
with that. Wow.
Shit.
So anyway, back to being covered.
Confident, dry, and secure.
I know. Confident, dry, and secure. Goddamn, Jason.
Raise your hands if you're sure. I'm sure. Oh, yes. I'm sure. Oh, yes. Lift up your hands over there. You're sure?
On that note, I'm motivated to talk about the black church. So when you decided to transition yourself, your brand, and to live in your truth, and to follow your thing and do what you want to do for you. What was the reaction from the black church?
It was mixed. Some people just went right ahead with me because they already knew that I was like wanting to do more than just gospel. Mm-hmm. They already knew that the talent, the gift, the writing, the acting, all of that should have a bigger platform. And mm-hmm. and no matter how much you try to follow the rules, it was never going to work if I happened to take a very provocative role. They mm-hmm. wouldn't have accepted that. So that would have limited me. So many of them came over with me. Even with the Lexi interview, it was 97% positive.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, that was in the DMs. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I totally blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I went through the same thing from pastors, bishops, mothers, grandkids, all alike. We're all like, I don't agree. Some were like, I don't agree, but I respect you. You
know what I'm saying? Like,
but it was all behind the scenes. Exactly. They never really affirmed or respected me.
Publicly.
And Melissa, you were saying at the break that there was a backlash. What happened?
Yeah, so when he has the Lexi interview and, you know, the line of questioning went towards his sexuality and he was probably more honest than you would ever, you know, publicly been, he received such backlash that all of his appearances were canceled. Basically, like, his whole life was shut down. He was shut out, you know? Exactly, blacklisted, you know, just because he just revealed what his truth was. And shortly after that, your mom passed away. So, I mean, it just, it would make sense.
A couple months after that.
Exactly. It would make sense that you would want to go through a completely different transition, want to rebrand yourself, reinvent yourself, because when a death happens, the next logical step, what is just innate, is you're going to evolve.
Yeah.
You know, it's death and rebirth. You come back as something completely different.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's where Beast Laid came from, was born from the ashes of, I can deliver a sermon if I need to.
And rising from the ashes.
Unfortunately, we don't have the time for that sermon today.
A sermon for what? Yeah.
So now, are you still attracted to women, or are you just attracted to men, or are you just attracted
to music? I'm attracted to both. To energy, not gender.
But would you still smash a woman, though?
Of course. What the fuck, Gio?
Of course. The right woman. It's a certain type of woman that does it for me, to be honest.
The same thing.
No, it doesn't. You could be attracted to somebody and not want to have sex with
them. That's true. And that's the problem with a lot of guys. When they think that you're strictly gay, they're like, they think you're looking at them all the time. Like, bro, the same way you don't want to hit every female that walks past you, I don't want to hit every guy that comes past me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody is not attractive to me in that way.
Listen, after Love and Hip Hop, I can tell you that the people that are trying to do, I don't know what inspired these people to send me messages. I had somebody the other day send me a message. And me and my boyfriend play. I was like, there's a playground down the street from my house. I don't want to play with you, your boyfriend. So, okay, so now where are, so you're comfortable and confident in where you are in life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I saw you perform at the Brandy Tribute. See, I be like a fly on the wall. I don't be all in the front. I forgot what you had on that day, but I swear I thought Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation.
Yeah.
Was that what it was? It was
a nod to that. Yeah.
You were not playing. You don't play when you perform.
No.
It's because,
I mean, first of all,
because you're
going to get in front of
today,
people, you know what I mean?
A performance.
Because we're having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That would be like if you had Beyonce over here, she'd be in a onesie at the mic. That wouldn't make any sense. You know what I mean? That's great for the stage.
Oh, my God.
Stage,
if Beyonce
but,
was
you know
here, Jesus Christ.
You know.
This one over here. He wouldn't be able to focus. He'd be drooling and dribbling.
Oh, no. Lisa would turn every mic off but mine.
So, Beyonce.
Nothing.
Totally shut out. No, we wouldn't get an opportunity to talk to her, but yeah.
So, okay, so what do you think about, okay, so I'm gay and I'm in the gay community, but I don't really, like the gay community to me, I don't really, a lot of shit they do is too over the top for
Understood.
Me. What do you think about that, having now been able to be in, perform in, be a part of the gay community publicly? What do you think about it?
They're just catty.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the black gays were real catty.
There's similarity between the black church and the gay community.
Well, absolutely. And then there's segregation in the gay community between the whites and the blacks. Like, that's a whole, we don't listen to the same music. We don't, well, we do secretly, but we don't go to the same clubs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's very clear.
It's very clear and distinct that, you know, that's the first thing I noticed. There's a lot of segregation in the gay community. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, that some of, you know, the black gays can just be unnecessarily judgmental. Just real cunty and broke.
I like that word.
Cunty.
You know? It's one of my favorite words.
You missed what he said. Very cunty and broke.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they'll do a scam to get some Giuseppes or some Balmain. Mm. But
they'll pull a stunt.
That card won't be paid.
And live your life. I just feel like it could be way more positive. But a lot of that comes from society, comes from religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and it comes with maturity. You know, you have to be confident in yourself. And when you're confident in your abilities, you don't have to be insecure and tear somebody else down to build your stuff up. And that's what I see a lot of that in the black and in the black gay community as well.
Be Slade, before you got here, we listened to this song.
Yeah.
It's called Conversations.
Yes.
And it's over the Beyonce beat. Yes. Can you please, because we
formation.
Got formation
yes.
track. And we got a lot of...
Tell us, please, and enlighten us on where you were. Was that like kind of like your clap back to everybody that's sitting in church that's like judging you? Or please explain that.
Yeah, because you're calling a lot of people out. You're making it seem like you're insinuating that there is a lot more closeted folks in there that would ever want the world to know.
Right.
You know.
And I'm on ice skates with Lipton tea. So it's risky. It's risky.
I'm on ice skates with Lipton tea.
So explain, like, what, like, in detail, like, where were you coming from when you made that? Because you did it all in one day.
Yeah, it was overnight. I did this performance for a Lynette Hawkins Stevens tribute, Walter Hawkins, you know, Oh Happy Day, like real classic, legendary artist. And she and Kirk Carr had a tribute.
Kirk Carr.
And
do you know who Kirk Carr is?
I don't know.
You need to go watch. You need to go to YouTube when you leave here.
Okay. He's like one of the most brilliant gospel writers, musicians that ever happened.
Yeah. I'll check him out. I promise.
Yeah, you will love him. Get ready
for every mountain.
That's okay. Yes. So we did the tribute. I did a song called "There's a War Going On," 1984 song, mm-hmm. But it's relevant to today. Mm-hmm. And I had on my conversation outfit. That's mm-hmm. on the cover. That's mm-hmm. what I wore. Mm-hmm. And I performed and did full out choreo the way I always do. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter if I'm at church or a club or mm-hmm. in the park or at home. Mm-hmm. I go full out. That's just what I do.
And it is sometimes uncomfortable because it's so much. And we're not used to that.
No.
And you don't care.
No, you can't care. Not if you're going to be an icon. When you perform, if you care.
When you perform, you sing every single note.
Yeah.
And don't care. Like, no, but I mean, it's just, it's performance from beginning to end. It's a character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like art is the one place we can all be free. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or at least should be mm-hmm. free. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to be safe, I'd just be Anthony Williams, I'd be Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But when you're trying to save the world from mediocre, awful, just mundane music and you know it's bullshit out here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's bullshit out here. Mm-hmm. And so when you're trying to make change and trailblaze and open up the doors for the creatives who make things interesting mm-hmm. and who make things amazing, mm-hmm. it's difficult. And most people are very afraid of full expression because of rejection.
So do you think, okay, so earlier we were talking about whether or not you can be gay then not be gay. Do you think if you're gay, you're just gay?
I think if you have affinity for both sexes, you're always going to have that affinity.
So do you think that Donnie McClurkin is still getting it in?
Do I think that getting in,
because you know
who?
He said he was delivered for men.
Yeah, I've
you know
heard
that.
Him say that. Yes, I've heard him say that.
So he was converted. He was converted.
Donnie McClurkin was sucking dick.
Alrighty then.
See, it sounds so. They're gonna say, "Oh, he's messy." Is that? That's what you do when you're involved with a man. That's mm-hmm. what happened.
Yes.
He ain't a lot of other things. Okay. So my point is that if he was delivered, if he stomped that demon out,
if he what?
Stomped
that demon out.
Stomp. If he stomped that demon.
Okay, hold on.
Do you believe that you can pray away?
Because
Mike Pence thinks that you can get rid of it.
I was about to say, I mean, so the election has just happened. Oh my and gosh, we were saying, you know, Donald Trump, everybody is so, you know, whatever. They have their personal feelings with that. But I have been saying, don't fear Donald Trump. Fear who he's electing into cabinet. Fear who his vice president is, because Pence believes in conversion therapy. Back in the 1950s and 60s when they, you know,
shock you.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Electroshock therapy. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they can get that demon out of you.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But he actually believes in that archaic notion that you can electrocute somebody to the point where they come back as heterosexual.
I wish they used that on probing out and zapping out racism. Does it work on? Can we use electrolysis on that?
Amen and hallelujah. Yes.
Does it work that way? Can I zap some sense back into your ass?
Exactly.
So, I'm still waiting to find out if Donnie McClurkin is still.
But let's just say this. I'm going to say this about Pastor McClurkin.
And let me say it's just a way to set it up. Because I feel like it's those kind of things that perpetuate the belief that we all have a choice, or that we can all decide one day to not be a sinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I really feel like it's a way of making people, I don't know. I don't know what that is. What do you think?
Well, it's definitely confusing to the masses, but this is all I'm going to say about Pastor McClurkin, because he and I have had words. And we still have unfinished business to discuss.
Like words in the parking lot?
Well, the initial discussion wasn't one, but it wasn't under those circumstances. Yeah. But he has his own internal issues to deal with. And I find that certain generations have a harder time reconciling that than Generation X, and then millennials mm-hmm. have no problem. So not it's just, it's zero. A generational fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I believe that.
And so because he didn't necessarily cover me, but I will cover him in love in this regard. I understand how scary that might be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's real easy to say what he should do, but we don't know the circumstances that he's facing. And he's caused a lot of damage, more than I can say for even my own career, because he's part of the reason why I got blacklisted.
Really?
But we, even with that, every 10 years, our absolutes change. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe he's grown or evolved. I don't know what's going on. Last I heard, he was getting, you know, married to Nicole C. Mullen. And I was just like, honk, like, what's going on? You know? But then again, I was just like, hey, why do I care? You right. know, as long as I'm making my coin, touching people, making art, that's great. You know? Mm-hmm. And I wish him the best. Mm-hmm. I just want everyone to, for those of us who are walking in truth, mm-hmm. Just keep your mouth off me, man. Like,
You clap back a lot at certain people that try to call you out.
It's like, yo, come on now. If we're going to have this discussion, let's have a full out conversation about the state of the black church and the black community at large concerning sexuality. We're just not talking.
I was going to say, you're one member of the black church. Most of the people singing in the choir is gay.
Well, that was the first line of conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all haters corny with that he needs deliverance. Check out your choir stand. They all need deliverance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like if we're going to have, we're going to play that game. I don't want to react to this, because I could react easily. Mm-hmm. Anyone can react. But I don't need to react if I'm in truth. I'll just respond. Mm-hmm. Let's have a real conversation, not a messy way, not a clapback. Just let's talk about all of it. Don't just single me out. How am I the target?
I think to attack you publicly is to put fear in everybody else to keep themselves in the closet.
But
so that
I'm
way,
not afraid.
Yeah.
See, you can't keep dogging and bullying somebody, because I was bullied all my life. I mean, just intentionally picked on. You know what I mean? But it makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't get the same cold twice. Mm-hmm. Once you hit me with that, it doesn't even, that's why in the song I say, I heard B Slave is fact. I'm taking the power of the things that they shot at me and using that as ammunition. That's my strength. Mm-hmm. It's almost the more that you tear me down,
yeah, you disarm
I
them.
Get built up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just my resistance level is so.
You ate barrages.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, The Pastors of LA, have you seen that show?
Preachers of LA.
Yeah, I've seen that show.
What do you think about these preachers that do reality shows? Do you think there's a space for reality television with pastors?
I would prefer it not to be.
Yeah.
I would prefer it not to be, because it's not reality.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
No, what you're seeing on those reality shows is not a pastor's reality.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's an edited version of an ideology of what it could be.
I see one of the pastors had a super huge beef with his brother. Like, I forget his name, but I'm like, what the heck? Like, pastors beefing with their own family, well, their own kin? Like,
one thing that just really kind of just confuses me about, you know, just leaders of the black church, shows like Preachers of LA, et cetera, isn't the foundation of being a man of God to be a man of humility? Isn't that what is the furthest thing from what they are?
Let me say my past. So the pastor that I had growing up as a foster kid, Pastor Willie Easter, he's dead now. Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Eleanor Easter, who's also deceased, they were like, when I tell you, they never talked good or bad about the gay community. None of that. They never preached to our congregation about if you do this you're going to hell, you do that. They taught the word. Mm-hmm. They made sure that the music was something that got your spirit. Mm-hmm. They made sure the activities kept kids out the streets. Like, what I loved about them was I didn't like that they made me go to church a lot, but what I did like about them is that it was more mentorship than a dictatorship or a judging panel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like now, you know, like, our church was Kojic, Pentecostal. Yeah. Women weren't supposed to wear pants. They knew what the rules of the church and all that, but they didn't come in. But when there were women who had problems at work that their jobs made them wear pants, he helped them to where they can wear dresses. He would go to their jobs. So I say that what's changed now is that I feel like It is so judgmental now. It's yeah. just the church now to where, you know, there should be programs or some type of, if somebody like you who is a figurehead in the gospel community and in the church community comes out and has the courage to do it, why don't more people come together and say, look, how do we usher men and women? Because I think when you think about gay people in church, you just automatically think men. Mm-hmm. There's lesbians too.
Lesbianism never is spoken of. Mm-hmm. So wow. It's never spoken of.
Why do you think it's a generational thing that is still full of fear to start that conversation? Or
yeah, but not the millennials and not the tail end of Generation Xers.
The Bishop Blakes will never have it.
Probably not.
Okay, but the Kiki Sheards, Kira Sheards.
Probably not.
Hmm. Oh, because of the bloodline with the Clark sisters. But they have a huge gay following.
Probably so.
Does it frustrate you that the gospel singers have such a big gay community following them and don't use their platforms responsibly? I'm just trying to get there because I feel it. Because I think I'm getting it as we're talking.
He's got like a lot going on behind that facade, and all he wants is a honk.
That's all I want is a honk.
So when you came out, did Kurt Franklin call you?
I was going to say about that. I want to talk about that. I never came out. Okay, mm-hmm. I was going to promote a new album.
Right.
I had just changed over to Sony Records. It's an album called Unspoken. It was my last closing out album just to get out of that deal.
As Tone.
I went there to promote the album. I did not know that it was going to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. We never talked about my album. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say I never came out. I was just asked a series of questions. You know, some people do an interview to specifically come out.
Yeah.
That's not what this was. This was supposed to be about my album.
And you decided to go there?
No, she decided to go there.
But then you decided to just
answer truthfully.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my choice. But I'm grown.
Yeah.
And I got tired of just, you know, who are these people? I don't care if the whole world don't like who I am. As long as I know I'm being honest with who I am, fine. That's not going to change how I feel about myself. The mm-hmm. whole world could stand against me, but I have my own strong constitution. And I got to that point that was like, this is what it is. If you're bold enough to ask me, because you've never asked this of any of my gospel counterparts or constituents, you've never asked them mm-hmm. these questions. Mm-hmm. So it made me feel like, why are you getting so personal with me? But I know there's several other people that you've interviewed with that you've never went there with.
Right.
So it felt, at the time, it felt like, y'all trying it? You know what yeah. I'm saying? I didn't know exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At that time. Mm-hmm. We're cool now. Lexi, I post her stuff on my page. You know, we're cool. Because ultimately, even though I didn't like the way it all went down to a degree, it got me in this interview with you all. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather be on this side of the story than still on that other side talking about some struggle.
Because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. it's not a struggle. I am who I am because mm-hmm. God made me that way mm-hmm. unapologetically. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that I didn't take myself out because I almost did. It was awful how those people like.
Are you talking about awful. Suicide?
Yes. Yeah. October 24th, 2010. Had some Tylenol PMs. I just wanted to go to sleep and not wake up because mom's dead, dad's dead, church is, you know, the whole world's
against
turned on me.
Yeah.
It was awful. Wow. I'm living in the house where both of them died.
So what
yeah, it was a lot.
So what do you think saved you or what made you not end yourself?
I didn't want that to be
your legacy.
The legacy, because my parents didn't raise a quitter. You know, my father was a very strong man. My mother was a very strong African American woman. And I felt like regardless of what I was going through, if I really truly wanted to make a difference, I was gonna have to man up and make sure that wasn't how my story ended. I mean, it would have been a great lifetime story. I'm sure the legacy of it, the story would have carried on, but I didn't want that to be
the end point
because I knew, you know, there's a fighter in me.
Mm-hmm.
You said a good lifetime movie. I'm resilient. They probably would have had Jason Weaver play you.
That's hilarious. I love Jason.
You know, them lifetime movies be so far
They be
far
casting
off.
Them crazy.
Well, we are definitely glad, man, that you didn't do that, man. Yeah. And you are an amazing. If anybody has not heard this brother sing, I'm going to try to get him some later to sing, but this brother's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah,
thank
no,
you, bro.
He is.
Thank
so you. So let me ask you, for the young men and women out there who are listening to the interview, each word that we're speaking of, what is your message to them on how to deal with the struggle that you went through in this transition and in just the way that it came to a head? And what would you tell them to do differently than what you did?
I think what I would have done differently in the transition, I would have prepared a cushion for when the money wasn't coming in. Like, mm-hmm. if you're in a powerful position, whether it's in church or any public position, and you go there, your economy is threatened. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So you have to make provisions for yourself that until the initial impact of the bomb, until that settles, you need to have a little nest egg so you can survive. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that.
Right.
Because I was doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But how could I plan for something I didn't know was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So as far as the struggle's concerned, each person grows differently. I don't think anybody should be forced to come out because somebody else came out. I'm not even into coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Just, if anything, expand within. Right. So many people are coming out, but they haven't developed on the inside.
And I
don't come out till the cookies are done.
And I have this conversation all the time that I never said the words "I'm gay" to my family. They heard it on Love & Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that I felt I needed to be in the closet. I just feel like, for me, I know what they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so why sit up and talk about who I'm sleeping with? I don't ask them, are you straight? I don't never ask right. one of my brothers, are you straight? Mm-hmm. Are you straight? Because I don't care who yeah. my family is fucking, you know, right. whatever. And they all keep popping out kids. So I'm just assuming they're fucking somebody.
You just reminded me of something that I wanted to ask you a little bit earlier.
I mean, all my siblings got at least 3 or 4 kids each. And I got 10 siblings.
Honey,
listen. That's a lot going on. I don't buy nobody Christmas presents.
Okay, listen.
Wow. Yeah. I could see how that could be a challenge.
Speaking of family, you said earlier in the interview that your oldest brother passed away from complications due to AIDS.
Yes.
Okay. And there's, you know, 6 of you, 6
yeah.
boys.
Yeah.
You, this, you know, not wanting to out anybody, I'm not sure what's the dynamic in your family, but did your older brother pass away from complications due to AIDS because he was homosexual?
It
was
no. Like, no, no,
he
that was drug related.
Drug related.
So he got that through. He was heavily on through the needle.
Okay. Literally.
Intravenously.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. All right. I wanted to know.
However, he was the only brother that I spoke with about it.
Okay.
And he, because I had a feeling like he wouldn't judge me.
Okay.
I wasn't sure about my other brothers.
So they all know now. I'm assuming.
I mean, had to have always known.
Right.
To be honest, but okay. you know, but I mean, I was the youngest. Anytime you have the same sex born mm-hmm. over and over again,
mm-hmm.
by the 5th or 6th egg that could possibly be a boy,
mm-hmm.
the estrogen sees that as an invader.
Really?
So it starts trying to pump extra estrogen into that particular fetus, which...
And like he said earlier, well, yeah. I don't need to tell my family I'm gay. I come home every Christmas with a roommate, and you asking me where the kids at. I mean, I dress, my hair is always cut, I got a cute roommate, I'm not... I kind of feel
draw
like
your
y'all
own
niggas
conclusions.
Is dumb.
Draw your own conclusions.
Right.
Okay.
I tell them, I'm waiting on y'all to ask me shit.
Okay. Well, you know, I do have a question, and this might be a little, you know, tacky or whatever the case is, but I have to ask, just in the vein of what we were talking about.
If you ask him if he's a top or bottom, I'm gonna be insulted.
You already, that's you. That's you.
You
that's your lane, mofo. Okay.
If you want to answer, you can.
We've already talked about Kirk Franklin yeah. and Donnie McClurkin.
Y'all need to stop bringing up Kirk Franklin.
Bishop Eddie Long.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Good question.
You know, because inquiring.
Must have got some good dick in Mexico because you are on tonight.
Wow. He's so evil. I was in Belize.
Shit, you was in Guadalajara. You was in Tijuana.
Bishop Eddie Long.
I saw the water. I think she was in Flint, Michigan, actually.
Wow. I think I'll take some Yoo-hoo.
I would. Bishop Eddie Long.
Yes.
Okay, so that was a major catastrophe. He rose to fame. And
that's hilarious.
It really was. I mean, you know what my enduring image of that man is? Is the
him
photo.
Fucking the gym photo of him in the mirror.
Yes.
With that
wearing,
body. That
wearing
like
Under Armour. The Under Armour muscle shirt. Because I got friends
I'm
over at Under
right,
Armour. So I was like,
right
ooh,
now,
how'd that do for your brand?
I'm not going to say I'm opposed to a pastor putting his hands on me. But if he looked like that, I would have a problem. Now,
yeah.
If Boris Kodjo was the pastor, I'd let him praise me from morning to night.
Praise
well,
him.
Well, Bishop what? Eddie Long has openly come out about his illness, right?
Homosexuality is an illness, according to him. Is that what's happening?
Is that what you're saying to me?
No, I'm not saying that.
Wait, hold on. That's news to me. I haven't heard that.
Bishop Eddie
I have not heard that.
No.
Stop. Bishop Eddie Long was mentoring young men in Atlanta. And then he was mentoring their spirits and their assholes. Let's just set it up. Then, hold on. Then after he was mentoring them assholes, a couple of them were underage, and they came through and said that he had done some shit that he wasn't supposed to do. The church got behind him and supported him through that part of his life. And then there were pictures that surfaced of him losing a lot of weight. People assumed, because when you're gay, like, I just lost 18 pounds. My HIV status is still negative.
He's vegan.
Is that what does that?
Vegan.
No, start. We're almost done.
Okay, we're almost there. Okay.
So what? So the point is, no, he didn't say that being gay was an illness.
Thank you.
Oh,
he was saying illness because he's assuming because he's lost so much weight he had AIDS.
No, I didn't.
No, he didn't say that. He
didn't say that either. But
I'm saying, you in the hot seat today, Gio.
Wow, they are you, right?
No, because before B Slay came in, you told me how he had to read you for Phil for disrespecting him for being gay.
I didn't even say that. I just said we was at Zen Lounge.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes, and I said something, and he.
No, tell the story for our audience.
Well, first of all, he told me not to say anything.
Hey, guess what?
Oh, well, I'm saying it.
I was
at. Look at your hands, Gio. He's
real gay to me.
What is that? Is this how you feel all the time?
All the time.
Listen, Gio, our community will receive you if you want to come on over. And once you get the gay audience behind you, you're in there.
You're winning.
You're in there.
Fuck you.
No, thank you.
Fuck you. You're cool. No, fuck you. So, no, we were at Zen Lounge. Now, mind you,
why did he get a fuck you? He didn't say nothing.
I know. Right. Right. Fuck you. You cool. Listen, whatever, man.
You just want to fuck everybody. I've been today, don't you? Kirk Franklin, where you at when we need you? We need a good old bottle in
listen,
here. Okay, listen. So,
go to hell. I love this guy. I love y'all.
Okay, so they were at Zen Lounge. They were at Zen Lounge, and Gio said to him, because this is the thing. You know, we accept heterosexual friends, allegedly, once in a while.
Yo, don't ever say allegedly after no shit like that, bro. Don't do that shit.
But they always think that they complain. I'm like, yes, yeah, like we are doing
that. But
I'm
a comedian. People know I have a lot of gay friends.
But you did
that. I love the LGBT community.
So tell the story.
So I saw him at, we know each other through my cousin Chester Gergen, also Elijah Blake.
Elijah Blake, yeah.
Who's another amazing artist. And I saw him at Zen Lounge one day. I was like, you know, what's up, bitch? And I said it like, you know, like,
wait,
what's up?
Put the camera on B Slay's face because it's resting right now. He's not finding humor in it at all.
So he said hi to me. We, you know, we greet each other. And then
he kept it
real
next, cordial.
The next day, I look into my
fan the flames.
I look into my DMs on my Instagram. And it's B Slay. And he politely said,
read
if you ever
Phil.
Call me a bitch again in public, don't ever do that again. He said, I would have texted you, but I don't have your number anymore. And I said, I'm so sorry. I apologize. Because in all of my gay friends, like, you know I'm the funny one. Like, they laugh at it. So, but he was the first one that addressed it, and I respected it.
Can you explain why?
And I've never done it again.
Because I think this is important and educational.
Well, first of all, I respect him. So I figured it was best to talk about it as men off the scene. Everybody who's around me doesn't know the nature of how cool we are. So I don't want any other brothers thinking they can just walk up to me and just call me out, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's in a playful way. Right. Some people will use that as a medium in the name of fun to disrespect me as a man. And I don't want to do that.
I respected that, and it's never happened again with all due respect.
Yeah.
So I apologize then, and I get your point.
Yeah, I mean, we good. He's a comedian, so everything's good. I was in his video. I mean, we don't have no problems. You know, the video was fire, too.
The reason why I thought that was important is because I do feel like a lot of my straight friends, people at this point have pretty much gotten the notion that if you come for me, especially in public, that could go really left for you, because I could say some crazy shit. I'll say some shit like, what? You wasn't saying that yesterday, Gio.
See, and that's how shit gets.
See, on this show, all we said was Melissa was with Colin, and then on the news,
that's
you were Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, no, it just sucks. It
allegedly.
Just sucks. We were talking about somebody named Colin, who's a friend of mine and a friend of Jason's, and then media take it was like, oh, she must mean Colin Kaepernick. I'm like, why?
Right.
Why? Because why?
That's great. It's just more press.
No. I was his side chick and his girlfriend called me. I don't need
that's
those kinds
not
of
that.
Motherfucking
so,
stories
yeah,
out
no,
there because
no,
I don't
no.
want another fucking chick's man. Yeah. Be clear.
Daniel Sunjata.
Again, he had a girlfriend that he didn't want to. He didn't tell me about. He didn't tell me about. She made herself known, and I was like, "Enjoy your life with him. Goodbye."
We're not going to tell the audience that you're the one that released Genuine's dick.
You're hilarious.
You know what, B Slay? You're hilarious. Today you caught Miss Ford. Normally she got the cocoa butter titties.
Oh,
and she's covered up today.
Well, first of all, she's in a room. She's in a room with three men who aren't worried about her titties.
No, I'm not. Wait, I'm saying normally
you caught it.
Yeah,
hey, but fuck you, bitch. The fuck does that mean? The fight. You know what? I renounce my throne today. If you gonna keep with that shit?
Throne.
Wow.
Or like a toilet.
Listen. If you want to tell the audience that you sit on the throne today, that's all. You know
what? I'm done. Edit all this shit the fuck out.
No, it's staying, bitch.
Edit all.
And I'm staying.
No, I'm not.
And you.
Yeah. Okay, Melissa. I just got this vision. Melissa was telling me about her OBGYN, not OBGYN, but her gynecologist doctor who couldn't find a thing in your vagina. What was it that got lost?
The vulva.
Jesus, no. My IUD.
He couldn't find interuterine device.
My
you're cuter than an interuterine.
You're funny.
So when he was digging around in there, what is that process
I
like?
I resent that remark.
It is invasive.
I'm funny. Funny. I clown.
No, you are hilarious.
No, what do you mean I'm funny? You trying to be funny?
Can I talk about my pussy? Thank you.
Okay.
Not that there's any man in here that wants to hear you talk about your vagina.
You just
today.
Asked what the process was. Okay, so.
I do. I believe in her vagina.
Okay, well.
Gio, you got resting bitch face or what? All right, I'm going to leave Gio alone.
Continue. My gynecologist went fishing around for my
injury. He went fishing around?
Well,
there was fish?
Okay, no, there's not. Bad analogy. Okay, he went looking for my intrauterine device. Okay. Okay.
All right.
And in order to try to coax it out of your cervix.
What does the coaxing out of your vagina look like? Like, what, are you talking to him while he's coaxing something out your vagina?
We were having a conversation, yes.
And
and the nurse was holding my hand.
Give me a vision. Are you laying on your back with your legs up and he's fishing around while you're talking to some chick that looked like Go-Girl from Golden Girls? What's going on?
Yes, exactly like that. Exactly. Exactly. My feet were up in stirrups, yes, and he was trying to get
investigate.
He was trying to find it.
First 48.
Right. Yeah.
Do you get stimulated by that?
No, absolutely not. It feels like.
Wait, why are you so loud right now?
Because it is painful,
I think he touched a button.
No.
No, because I got a lymphatic massage the other day, and I know he molested me. I said,
so
wait
you
a
were saying?
So after the massage, he gonna say, "You know what I was doing, right?" I said, "No, you know what you was doing." But it felt good, so I didn't file a complaint.
If it sucked, security.
Okay, so back to him fishing around in your vagina.
He was trying to coax it out, and the way that they do that is they have this long, very skinny, skinny prod with a sharp
end. Shout out to my ex.
And he pokes your cervix to dilate it.
Shout out to your ex.
To make it bigger so that they can go in and pull it out. Yeah, this show is just, it's just went
was
all
it
the way
painful
fucking
on
left.
Was it painful coming out of your vagina?
We couldn't get it out.
It's still in you.
It's still in there.
So if you go through airport security, we're going to see an interuterine device on the
now,
x-ray.
Please, to ask right now.
Shout out
I
to
need,
our audience that's learned a lot about Giovanni.
What
today,
I'm,
by the way.
Fuck all of y'all.
No, I told you I'm not going to accept your advances.
What I'm about to ask right now.
You're violating company
what
policy.
What I'm about to ask right now, please do not judge me.
Okay. Okay.
What?
You suck dick. It's okay. We'll edit that out.
You better edit that the fuck out. Your what is it called?
IUD.
Is that like a form of birth control?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It That's has not kept a bad me question. Safe for years.
I had to ask. Okay, so how long has it been in there?
10 years.
Jesus Christ.
Do you know
but,
if it,
I mean,
is it
isn't
rusty?
That normal, though? They say that there's has a, happened more than...
There's a five-year and a 10-year one. And the five-year one also incorporates estrogen and hormones,
okay.
Which I did not want.
Okay.
So the 10-year one
Andrew's
is
Andrew's laughing at your pussy over there. Andrew's so humored by your pussy. He's looking at Don J and me like, oh, we talking about our pussy today.
So
this does not come with photos, Andrew.
Actually, I'm drawing a diagram. Yeah, okay, it's like this.
We need to bring your doctor on to talk about your pussy because there's so many men.
So
that
that's what an intrauterine device kind of looks like. It's like a fucking stick figure.
Thing they put on top of the house back in the day for television.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
That looks more like Kirk Franklin's dick and balls.
Would you be mad if you still got pregnant with that? You?
Oh my
Oh, I'd be furious. It cost me $750 to get that shit implanted.
Shit. Damn it. I bought my ex 2 pairs of shoes at Barney's. I spent more than that.
Wait, but
so
do
listen,
you still have
can I say something as a disclaimer? All views expressed today by the three of us have no reflection on our guests.
No, none whatsoever. We're just reckless as usual.
I think I'm keeping up. I mean,
no, you're doing great.
You are keeping up a lot better than some people do.
See, this is what group sex feels like. Nobody knows whose turn it is and everybody's trying to do something.
I wouldn't know.
Wait, and last question about your IUD, ICDC college.
Stop worrying about Melissa's pussy. Ever since you
got this job, last question. Do you still get your menstrual cycles?
Yes.
Her what cycle?
Menstrual cycles.
Yes.
You said menstruing?
Menstrual cycles.
Yes, they are. Yes.
She still surfs the crimson wave.
Yes, I do.
The red sea.
I'd much rather get an email from Mother Nature saying, okay, you're not pregnant this month.
Now that I'm vegan, nothing in my house has blood in it. I ain't fucking with that shit.
Yeah, well, it's yes, I still get that.
Good luck finding your ICDC college.
Melissa, I will say, you have, you know, I've watched all our shows back multiple times. We have talked about your vagina. We need to make a video and a show just about your vagina, because there's literally at least 3 hours.
I know, it's a very interesting topic.
Maybe we can give that job to
Andrew. She's really pretty, too. She looks like a flower in bloom.
I rebuke you, Satan. Weed. Flee from here.
Don't get them dandelions out of here.
Okay, so look. I rebuked the vagina today. Yes. Okay, so let's slow it down a little bit and stop talking about, you know, all of Giovanni's advances towards me today during the show and talk about something serious. So what else? what are you working on right now, and where can people find you? Because if people haven't heard you sing,
they need
first
to.
Of all, they got to hear you live.
Hey, can you just give us a little bit, please? Oh, come on. No, I have to. Okay. Please, just a little bit.
Let me see.
Come on, Beastly.
Let me see. I compromised hanging out with friends from my past. I thought no harm done, but my flesh took over in a flash. Even when I was with them, my mind wasn't there. For I knew if you came, Lord, that I'd be left. So like a lost sheep that has gone astray, I went back in the fold, and I'm back here to start restoration. Oh, I know that I've gone way too far.
Come on, now, big
there.
Brother Pascal collection played around. Nigga, I said Pascal collection played around.
Only if we're buying you condoms so you can't reproduce.
Yo, control is crazy, bro.
Wow.
Man.
That is impressive.
We know another good mutual friend, Stevie Mackey, man.
Stevie Mackey, man. Yeah, good friend.
Yo, jeez. Good dude. Christ. So, you got any shows coming up, performances, appearances?
Yeah,
what?
December 3rd at the Wallace Annenberg, I'm doing the Black Belt release concert. That's in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
December 18th, I'll be in Memphis. So, if you're out there, I'll be there. I'm going to be shooting my first television show Monday. You'll hear about that later.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I got a biopic that's coming up. It'll be out fall of 2017 about everything we talked about here.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and Black Belt, the Black Belt mixtape, which includes Conversation, the song, will be out December 17th for free.
You can still get DeLorean as well.
Yeah, DeLorean is out right now on iTunes. Ferrari and DeLorean are the two that I would say that the fans need to check out. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter, Beastlade Now, Periscope, Beastlade Now, BSLADE Now. My website, IG,
Instagram, Twitter,
Snapchat, okay. Everything's Beastlade Now.
And we're going to be looking for this collaboration with Leandra. And if you talk to Leandra, I'm going to give you my number, but I would love to talk to her. I'm a fan of Leandra. Mm-hmm. And
when she comes out here to record, we can just bring her by.
We can create some content. We'll come to the studio.
Yeah.
No Patron, though.
No.
I would actually like to see her.
No.
No? Okay, no.
No. Let me tell you what you're going to look up, Leandra. YouTube, Leandra Johnson, Conga Room.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Ward out.
Jamie Foxx's Conga Room when he was doing the Conga Room.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if anybody in there didn't feel the anointing, they were on some other shit.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is.
Her story is amazing. We'll talk offline about that.
Well, then let her have a shot of Patron every now and then.
No.
Okay.
Because her story, if you watch Sunday's Best, she came out as an alcoholic, somebody struggling. Oh. I think it's amazing that it's still relatable because, like me, I've had a lot of issues with alcohol and I don't drink now. But, you know, she's still in that church world and trying to navigate through all that. You're not going to show up at the Stella Awards with Pastor Shirley Caesar and then you sipping Patron backstage.
But you might find some green screens. You name it!
I have unfollowed everybody that has posted that on my timeline.
Well,
and
I guess
note,
I'm unfollowed them because, honey, that gave me hilarious. A lot.
Okay, so before we go, you're not going to save your top or bottom.
Jason.
Okay.
I can't. Well,
thank you for coming on our show.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,